One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Sam Claiborne.
Well, howdy, Scoop partners.
Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And Mark Medina is here.
I'm not even going to try to follow that up. That was good.
You're supposed to work on your catchphrase.
No, you've had weeks now.
My
catchphrase is just to make fun of everybody else's catchphrases. That's why I go last, so I can hear them.
Well, but when you have as good one as Sam does, it's impossible to make fun of it.
It's true.
We've got a great show for this week. We'll be sharing in a little bit later. We'll be sharing some more of our adventures in Tears of the Kingdom, week two down. But first, let's begin with that big PlayStation showcase that went down yesterday from when this was being recorded. I've crunched some numbers. I got some numbers to share here. So when we dig into this thing. So the whole thing lasted about an hour and 12 minutes. I believe by my count, 34 games were shown, and I'm including the Metal Gear Solid collection that was announced as its own separate game. So 34 games, that comes out to about a new game about every 2.1 minutes. Of course, they didn't all get the same amount of screen time.
You did crunch the numbers. This is awesome. I told you.
Now, exclusives. How many exclusives were shown? And I'm first, well, you know, we have to play fair. So I'm going to include all exclusives, including console exclusives, because on Xbox, there's no just purely Xbox exclusive because they all go to PC. So here's everything. I count 19. Out of the 34 games shown, I think 19 were at least a console exclusive, including Spider-Man 2. I'm counting Project Q, the hardware in there.
Okay, Final Fantasy 16, that's more than half.
Final Fantasy 16, Fair Games, Foam Stars, Phantom Blade Zero, Helldivers 2, Sword of the Sea, Towers of Agazba, Revenant Hill, Grand Blue Fantasy Relink, Ultros, Tower of Fantasy, Crossfire, Sierra Squad, getting into the VR stuff, Arizona Sunshine 2, Synapse, Beat Saber, Resident Evil 4, PSVR 2, Concord, and Concord. That's it. So those are the 19 I count that are at least console exclusives. 56% of what was shown off.
Nice.
Wow. At least a console exclusive. But what about true exclusives? True exclusives that you cannot play unless you own a PlayStation. That would be Spider-Man 2, Project Q, Final Fantasy 16 for now, Foam Stars, although if you can play it on PS4, but it's PS4, PS5 exclusive. Phantom Blade Zero, which is a little bit of a strange case. We'll get into that too a little bit. Right now, only announced for PS5. Okay. RE4 VR. Revenant Hill, although it's the follow-up to Night in the Woods, and the Night in the Woods is multi-platform, so I wouldn't at all be surprised if eventually that goes cross-platform. Then Crossfire and Synapse are both PSVR 2 only VR games, I believe. So that comes out to 26% of the games shown were true exclusives.
Okay.
How many of the games shown were original titles, not a remake or a sequel or a spinoff? I count about 10 games, so 20%.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Then we come down to genres. I think the largest genre shown, action adventure, it's kind of a little bit of a catch-all, but I think action adventure games make up about 34% of the games shown, 12 games, pure action games, two of them. So that's 6%. I think there's one adventure game, and I said Sword of the Sea from the Journey devs, because it's like, I don't know, it seems like you're like exploring a desert and not doing much combat, so I just called that adventure.
That's the snowboarding one?
Yeah, you're just zip-zopping around.
Yeah.
Okay, that's I call that one Journey Hawk.
I think there was one action RPG in Final Fantasy 16. But then, this is what's interesting. I think 15% of the games shown were multiplayer shooters. Only multiplayer shooters. And then another 15% were VR games. So 30% of games are either multiplayer only shooters and VR. And that's just an area that traditionally Sony's not really known for. Mm-hmm. There was exactly
one
game.
I don't even think they know they have a VR unit out.
Well, they've been Resident Evil 4 VR, it's exclusive to PSVR 2, right? For now. That's cool. There was one game I didn't know what genre to put it in. That's Revenant Hill, the follow-up to Night in the Woods.
Yeah.
That might be adventure too.
Like story adventure? That's what Night in the Woods is.
Yeah, I can't tell though, because can't see if that cat talks, right?
It looks like looks like the same cat, but then again, I didn't play Night in the Woods.
No, it's that cat in Night in the Woods is anthropomorphic. This cat's just a cat.
Okay. So when you look at the numbers, you know, in terms of like how many exclusives were shown, that all seems fine. For me, there wasn't a lot that I was super excited about. I know a lot of people are talking about like, where's Wolverine? Spider-Man 2 looks really, really cool, but that's a pretty known quantity. That's going to sell 20 million copies. It would have sold 20 million copies if it weren't in the showcase. Mm-hmm. I was surprised they showed Spider-Man 2 for that long and then didn't give us a release date.
Yeah, it's weird that they still just said fall.
Yeah,
my gut was, well, we still don't know Starfield's release date, so maybe they're like kind of waiting for them to go first. But we do know Starfield's release date, so
yeah.
I talk myself out of showing my naivety.
I think that we'll all like Dragon's Dogma. I just didn't play the first one, but the people on our staff that like that game that are talking about it are make me feel like it's like basically going to be like skipping The Witcher 1 and 2, but then playing The Witcher 3. Like, it looks like it's that big of a leap, which sounds great to me.
I think so. Like, that's Dragon's Dogma has been like an eternally backlogged game for me, and you know, will be until the day I die. So,
it's 360, right?
It's 360, yeah. It seems like a sleeper hit. The only time I played it was on an IGN like day one live stream, back when we would live stream a game for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I played like 4 hours of it and I liked it, but that's all I ever played.
Mm-hmm. I like just the press conference. How many games per minute was it, Damon?
Or 2.1. Whatever, 2.1 games a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. A new game every 2.1 minutes. Sorry.
Yeah. And like, to me, I chalk that up to like E3 press. You know that like Sony marketing department, like whoever puts on this event, like they had a conversation about like, do we want to have developers come out and like, you know, our new game Sword of Amaranth is using all the teraflops of the PlayStation 5 to make. And it's like, you don't need any of that. Just like show off your game. Just like, you know, it's like these games speak for themselves, or if you construct your trailer, it does the right way. And all anybody wants to see is the gameplay anyway. So it's like, how much time did we, if a million people watched this press conference and it would have been an hour longer. So we saved a million collective human hours by not having these developers walk out and talk about their game for 5 minutes before showing off their 60-second gameplay trailer.
Well, I agree with that. But I think that the conference did lack context, and I couldn't tell any rhyme or reason to when they showed the trailers. So what I do like is when they say things like the next 5 trailers are games that are going to be out before September. Like that is absolutely fine for me to have that context. Or even better, sometimes they stack maybe their big stuff at the end, or maybe they say like, here's some awesome indies. Like, I don't know if I didn't like the jumble. I kept them being like the first 5 games, I was like, what is happening here? Like this, I have no idea what these games are. And they didn't matter to me. And then all of a sudden, it's Metal Gear. What? Yeah. Like, that was strange. And then 5 games I never cared about, like, again. Like, I just, like, I didn't like that. So, like, I think it would help the games to add the context of just, like, these next games are this and this and this.
I do agree. I agree that it's like, you know, here's 5 originals and here's 5 beloved sequels. And, you know, I agree.
I think they internally group them together, and that's when every time, because they've been doing this in the showcases for a while now, where it's like there'll be like a pause and it'll show like a little bit of a graphic or something like that. Yeah. I think internally that's them being like, we're now leaving that section and going to the next section, but they don't explain what that is. Yeah. So for the most part, that's just a guess that that's actually what that is. What else would those breaks be for?
I completely agree. And that's also, this is a little bit inside baseball, but that's probably like they gave themselves the flexibility of like Jim Ryan or whomever could go out and talk at those section breaks and be like, you know, it's that PlayStation, we have a legacy of blah, blah, blah. And then like, you know, they structure it in such a way that it's like piecemeal, right? They can choose how they want to put it together.
And I don't want to misconstrue that. Like I 100% know that somebody behind the scenes said, listen, people say all the time, just show us the game or show us the gameplay. Yeah. They don't mean show us the trailer, by the way, even though some of those are cool. People want to see the gameplay, right? So that's great. Like, I think this is the right direction. But, like, I was just a little baffled during some of it as to, like, what I was seeing and, like, why I was seeing it. And I really like by the end of it, getting a sense of, like, what's out this year, too, which was, like, which we put that together. But it was hard to, you know, like, kind of ascertain what that was. But, like, we did get, like, some two October games. We got Assassin's Creed and Alan Wake. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool. We know there's October games now. Mm-hmm. That's neat.
Yeah. I wish, I agree with that. And, I wish we got more gameplay. It was a lot of like cinematic trailers, which are good. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's the pattern that games follow is like you have a cinematic trailer first and a gameplay trailer second, then your game comes out. So it's like for announcing new products, I understand, but it's still like, it felt a little out of balance.
I think there's like a level of game for me to care about a cinematic trailer. So they showed, what is it called? Concord? Is that what it's called? Yes.
Yep, that's one of the multiplayer games.
maybe that's not... Which is the one that looked like Atari Rainbow style?
Ultros?
That was...
I'm just talking about... I think I'm talking about Concord. But whatever the case, they showed like a teaser trailer that didn't show anything about the game. And it was gorgeous. And I have no idea what that was. But like, that's not the type of game you tease. Like, I will watch teasers all day of Wonder Woman and Wolverine and, you know, I don't know, Elder Scrolls, you know, like those games, like tease them. That's awesome. Like, let me see that. Metal Gear totally made sense for. I really liked our breakdown of that trailer, by the way. There's a lot more going on. I made fun of that trailer the first time I saw it. And then I read about it. And I was like, oh, there's a lot in here. So like, that's great. But like, when you get down to the level of like, this is like a game from a company I've never heard of. I'm not following it or anything. Like, I don't need to watch a minute long trailer that just shows me the inside of a spaceship. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, they showed several new things from studios that PlayStation has acquired in recent years. Concord is one of them. And then Fair Games is another one from Haven, which is Jade Raymond's new studio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And then they showed Marathon, but they didn't show like what it was. So if you don't know what Marathon is, like...
Well, and they also...
That's nothing.
Marathon, it's not, because I was like, oh shit, Marathon, like Bungie's making a new like single-player FPS, but it's not. It's multiplayer.
Hoping it'd be like the Halo, you know, follow-up that we've kind of wanted from Bungie.
Yeah, so the new trend in games clearly is, you know, this PvPvE, like these exfiltration games, right? Yeah. Like, go in with a squad and get your stuff, and you can be killed at any time, and then get out. Like, I don't even know
it's
how many
Tarkov
games.
It's the Tarkov pattern.
Yeah, it's like Tarkov, you know, is this sort of sleeper. I mean, you know, not a sleeper at this point, but like, you know, this monster of a game. And it's clearly the new sort of like genre du jour. I mean, it's the hot thing in games now. Like, it's officially like the story of Sony's conference. And like, you know, I you have Dark and Darker coming out, which is not a shooter, but it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Marathon, you know, Marauders, you know, Hawked. Like, there's so many of these games out there now. And, you know, I don't know, like, I'm waiting for the one to sort of come along and hook me. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the appeal is they're just as much fun to watch as they are to play, which, you know, is like a very streamer friendly. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Sony has said that they're working on something like 10 live service games. And here in this showcase, 15% of what they showed were live service multiplayer shooter games.
Yeah, when they started with the Haven game, I was like, okay, this is going to be... This is that new direction for sure.
I was a little that I didn't put the Jade Raymond connection together. That's that's a bit of a bummer because
I agree.
She's a very well known for amazing single player experiences.
Exactly.
It may be a really cool community shooter game, but it's a community shooter game and like it kind of looks like other community shooter games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a little Overwatchy. It's a little Fortnitey.
In case anyone No, she had a heavy hand in Assassin's Creed 1 and 2, Splinter Cell Blacklist, Watch Dogs, Far Cry 4.
So. Yeah, those are big single-player creds. So.
Yeah. What do we think about Foam Stars?
No. It's Splatoon.
No.
It's foamy Splatoon.
It's foamy Splatoon.
Yeah. It's so blatantly Splatoon that like I don't even
even some of the moves look like Splatoon moves. Yeah.
I wonder who. So Splatoon is fulfilling a specific niche for Nintendo, right? Like slightly older Nintendo fans that like tweens, right? That like aren't they're not. Well, I mean, there's a million tweens playing Call of Duty, but they shouldn't be, right? So it's like before you're ready to move on to Call of Duty. Yeah. Before you play Fortnite and Call of Duty, play Splatoon for a few years. And like it occupies a space and it does so for Nintendo and the Switch specifically that like. You know, I don't know. I guess other consoles deserve to have their version of that, but like, it doesn't seem to be sort of like ticking the same box. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can do that genre. You can get that audience without in a shooter without spraying goop. You know, you can do it another way.
Yeah.
I maybe like, it's really it good. To be, I don't know. It looked it was volumetric, like they were climbing on it and like walking on it. And just from like a tech standpoint, I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. But like, you know, I don't know. Not for me.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the U.S. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Yeah. And then Phantom Blade Zero looked cool. It looked like it could possibly be another, you know, sort of martial arts themed Dark Souls-like game. Looks very cinematic, but it's like the developer is such an unknown quantity. He says the journey began. It's like mostly one guy in China. Journey began with a game called Rainblood Town of Death, an indie game I made back in 2010. Rainblood grew into a franchise that would later become Phantom Blade, but most of these titles were for smartphones and never released outside of China. Hmm. Now allow me to introduce Phantom Blade Zero, the spiritual rebirth of the original Rainblood and the game we always wanted to make. Says it unfolds in a semi-open world consisting of multiple large maps. Okay. So I don't know what to make of it.
This is a Mitchell Saltzman game. It looks good. I think it looks cool.
I mean, I wonder, I'm asking this question genuinely. Like, I want to explore the answer now. It's like, I don't know what the state of the next gen or current gen consoles are in China. Like, you know, how many PlayStation 5s are there? Like, I don't know. I don't, how are they distributed? Like, I don't, I'd be curious to learn more about that.
My main takeaway when I was seeing that trailer was there was so many, especially during the 360 era, there was so many games that people described as like those gray and brown games.
Yeah.
And then everything's gotten really colorful. And I was like, oh, we're like coming full circle. We're the return of the gray and brown games. But I don't know. I think the game looks all right.
It looks cool.
It looks like parrying is going to be really hard in that game.
Well, I think he said, since they have so much experience with simple controls on a touchscreen, that they're aiming to make the controls very simple to pull off on PS5. So we'll see. All right. We should talk about Metal Gear Solid Delta. This is the hill I'm going to die on is who the heck is making this game?
Yeah, I know.
We're trying to figure it out. Right?
That's the hill I'm going to die on. Who is making this game?
The ghost of Hideo Kojima.
Right? Like,
hey, did you see the screenshots? They look a lot. They show you a lot more than what the teaser does.
Aren't they just like environmental though?
Not all of them. No, it's showing levels instead of a cinematic.
Instead of ants.
I never played Metal Gear Solid 3. I would love to play, you know.
Me neither.
I'd love to play a modern rematching of it, but like
I've played the first 3 hours several times.
The bar has been set so high with remakes now with Resident Evil 4 and Dead Space to a lesser degree. Konami has not shipped a AAA video game since 2018, and it was Metal Gear Survive. It's like, who's is it? That, is it the Metal Gear Survive team?
AAA loosely there.
That doesn't fill me with confidence. All of their Castlevania Anniversary collections, the Cowabunga collection, they farm all that stuff out. So, unless Konami has been like quietly hiring to build up a big AAA video game team,
well, I just think we don't know the third party studio that did this game. I don't know why but we don't.
Yeah, because it just says Konami. Yeah.
And there was a message from the development team posted on Metal Gear website, and it's just signed development team.
Okay.
That's
so funny. It's like they're, you know, because Kojima used to be really mysterious about, like, you know, when Silent Hills got announced and stuff like that. And so it's like, it's almost like they're trying to keep that mystery going, but that mystery is kind of associated with Kojima. So it's just coming off as a little odd that they're refusing to say who's making this game.
Yeah.
Original voice cast.
Yeah.
But not having played the original doesn't mean too much to me, but
it's the very funny
Metal Gear I've played is the Kiefer Sutherland one, so.
Yeah, me too.
It's like, okay.
Metal Gear Solid 3 is a great candidate. Like, I never even really thought about it that much until I started seeing these rumors. It's such a perfect candidate for a game to remake because it was so ahead of its time, and like, you know, a lot of people think it's their favorite Metal Gear game. I don't think so. I think its ideas were just like not ready for prime time and not really able to be done to their full degree on the PS2. And so, like, you know, a Solid Snake sneaking around a jungle and a real emphasis on like camo systems and stealth. Like, if they do it right and pull it off, like, it has, it's just, it's like, it's up there with Resident Evil 4 as like the most perfect game to be remade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone in the IGN comments had pointed out that they should have just named it Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater, taking out the three, because it takes place the first canonically, right?
Chronologically.
Wait, I thought the logo did take out the three. It's just Metal Gear Delta Snake.
Yeah, just maybe you just didn't need the Delta as well. Because, I mean, the Delta has been a point of mild confusion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not Metal Gear.
What that means.
Solid Triangle.
Yeah. Did they say that's out this year?
I don't think they said.
It doesn't say.
The collection is, though?
Okay, that's out this year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's weird because now you'll have the original Metal Gear Solid 3 and then the remake. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of games included that I feel like they probably just they didn't need to be included in the showcase. Final Fantasy 16 and Street Fighter 6. We bet it had a big state of play on Final Fantasy 16. Street Fighter 6, we've covered a lot. They're both out in a few weeks. You know, maybe just that time could have been taken up by Wolverine.
Yeah. Launch trailers.
Yeah.
And they probably could have taken the movie trailer out too, but whatever.
What do we think?
Yeah, Gran Turismo.
No.
That didn't do much for me either. What do we think about Assassin's Creed Mirage? Because I generally like Assassin's Creed game, but
yeah,
I'm not seeing anything particularly interesting or exciting about that one.
So here's the big debate right now is that it's not even a debate. It's just that a bunch of people want the classic Assassin's Creed sneak around, stealth. You know, kills are difficult. You need to overthink them. There might be requirements in like a, you know, a tight environment like that. That is now a desire for people. And I frankly am shocked what they want, because they've had the most successful Assassin's Creed ever by making basically The Witcher 3, right?
Yeah.
Like, why even, like, that's great. I'm happy a bunch of people are going to get what they want here. And maybe it's a smaller, more focused game. They can, like, get it out faster. But, like, after Valhalla, like, it seems like a step backwards. If there's one company we can rely on to make big, beautiful, open world games that are pretty fun to play, like, that's kind of stinks that we're not getting that that game again.
I think it's a couple weird things, because it's like, this game is going to be smaller. They've already said it's like 12-15 hours, which is, I don't know, that's music to my ears after Valhalla. But you know, they also have like a slew of Assassin's Creed games coming out with Hex and Red and all that stuff.
But those part of a community-based system.
Yeah.
Well, they're part connected. That like umbrella of Assassin's Creed games. But then it's also,
I mean, that doesn't sound like Valhalla either, right? Or Odyssey.
No, none of those all sound like really small kind of things. But then it's strange because Ubisoft is like, I think it was a few weeks ago where they were like, we are doubling down on Assassin's Creed because it's the only thing that makes us money anymore. And I mean, Mirage is like super popular. Like, as far as like we're looking at our numbers on like what was hitting, and Mirage has dwarfed everything else from that showcase, even Spider-Man. But that's because we'd already seen Spider-Man before.
I mean,
I don't know.
We don't know how action oriented or stealth oriented the gameplay is, right? Because the trailer showed us both. So, you know, like, but like what we do know, and like I'm particularly very excited about, is that it's back to being an urban environment. And or at least, again, that's what they showed off in the trailer, was just like one big city. And if the game is actually that, like, I just thought Valhalla was like a complete failure of game. Like, it was a very competent video game, but it had absolutely no sense of identity or what it was. It was just a mishmash of weird random shit. And like, I just didn't like, you know, so for Mirage to be a little bit more focused, and I actually, by the way, don't believe the 12 to 15 hour thing. I still think it's going to have a million side things in it and a map with just points of interest vomited all over it. But like, being like a tighter, more urban space and in a city, to me, that kind of like defines the essence of Assassin's Creed. And so I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I just wish they had a fantasy open world series that could go alongside Assassin's Creed then, because we're looking at a lack of fantasy open world games coming out, at least in the really near future.
Good thing you have one that you can play for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yes. That's very true.
Assassin's Creed is just, it's two different games, right? Syndicate was the last of the old ones. Origins was the start of the new ones. So then it's like, the brand itself kind of loses a little bit of its identity, because like, when you compare Syndicate to Origins, they couldn't be more different games. Like, they're just completely different games.
But Ubisoft has compared this to the size of Syndicate already.
Right, because this is more comparable to Syndicate. Like, you can,
I just think it's funny. I mean, again, like, my whole thing here is like, they're getting nines for these games. Like, really? This is your plan? Like, I'm glad. Like, maybe it's because of overwhelming feedback. And if that's the case, then that'll work. But like, the Assassin's Creed series was suffering before it hit Odyssey, right? Like, Origins was a step up, but like, people flipped out over Odyssey.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people say Origins is their favorite. I prefer Odyssey,
I guess Origins. People do like Origins a lot too.
It is kind of the Scoop Crew likes Odyssey more by and large, except for you, Mark. But like, Odyssey.
For me. Well, that's fine.
That's fine. No, like, I just like, but acknowledging that, like, maybe we're slightly in the minority. I don't see how Odyssey is like one of the most beautiful games ever.
I love Odyssey.
Like,
so much.
Odyssey is just so long, and which is like not necessarily a bad thing. And I remember thinking like, this is a little too long, in my opinion. I thought Origins was perfect, and then Valhalla was just like, you thought Odyssey was long.
Yeah,
and then people,
our prologue is as long as Odyssey.
People do get bang for their buck with these games, and then you got to remember too that like 4 was also like a big open world, cool ship game, and that's like also a beloved one too. I think that's probably still my favorite.
Yeah,
4 is great.
I agree with Sam. I love the open world, like, sort of light fantasy games, but like, I love Odyssey so much, but it could be completely divorced from Assassin's Creed to me.
Yeah,
and I would yep. still
it could
love
be
it.
Something else,
but mm-hmm. Ubisoft can't afford to like a game, mm-hmm. you know, to spend that much on that game and spend so much time without it having Assassin's Creed in the name. You know,
well, and that's kind of what I mean is that it's like it, Assassin's Creed. The name is like it's split between these two different genres, and if they were just brave enough to call those three games something else, they yeah. could have had a hit series on their hands of these Witcher like open world RPGs. So then now we're seeing this split between people not wanting Mirage because you're like, this isn't Assassin's Creed to me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The open world is Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Not that they're not open world. They all are, but you know what
I mean. Sorry. I have to break for 1 second. Sorry. I was trying to wait for a gap in the combo. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Bye, Justin. No problem.
We can continue. We're going to talk about Spider-Man 2. Yeah, I want to hear what Mark thinks about Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, I think it looks awesome. So the first part was really, really cool, and then they kind of lost me towards the end. So when he switches to Miles and he does that big slingshot, and then
the first part is in the jungle, Mark.
Okay,
you gotta start in the jungle.
The jungle, I wasn't even convinced that was Spider-Man at first. I was like, I was talking to you, Sam, and I was like, what even is this? I thought it was X-Men, or, you know, Wolverine. And yeah. then they're like, because, you know, I don't know.
Sabretooth Origins.
Yeah, exactly. And so then I was like, okay. So this part was fine. Anyway, so when you actually get to Spider-Man, that part was cool. They lost me when he started, like, skiing on the water. And it became this, like, on-rails QTE
it looks
kind
very,
of game.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
very scripted.
You're losing me with this. So hopefully yeah. that is
very that's
not
like Uncharted,
overly
right?
used. But overall, yeah. the game looks awesome.
Or like, you know, the dog sled moments in God of War Ragnarok, you know.
Yeah, I can't believe they're going full Venom backstory in this. I didn't realize they were going to do Black Suit Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Black Suit.
Yeah.
You know, probably awesome. Like a Big Bell, Eddie Brock.
I hope
reporter.
That's not
what's
like
gonna happen
overly
with this.
In it, though, because I don't know. I don't really like mean Yuri Lowenthal, like where he's just that, like, no. Go and do it.
Yeah.
Yo, Peter Parker.
That's
like,
what,
I don't,
is that
I don't
supposed
like
to be...
Mean...
It's Peter's voice being influenced by Venom, but maybe Venom's not a separate character yet?
Yeah, yeah. That's well, it's exactly what you're saying. So this yeah. is... Yeah, he becomes Black Suit Spider-Man. It's just Spider-Man 3. So he's just going to be mean Peter Parker because he's mean to Miles because okay. Miles tries
talking
to him.
I hope it's more Todd McFarlane, you know, coming out of the, what is it, the Secret War?
No, there's
like,
going to be a
into
dance
Spider-Man.
I was going
to
say,
I don't know if I want it to be Spider-Man 3.
But then, yeah, because we know that Venom is a character, right? So, because we already know that there's a voice actor. He was shown in the original trailer. So yeah. this is, we're seeing the first part of, and then we'll see mean Spider-Man, and then they'll eventually split, and then they'll have to take down Venom.
Do you think you can...
It's weird to have, like, somebody like Miles being, like, a calm head during that part of Spider-Man, because, like... It's obvious that Spider-Man has a giant space alien spider that's taken him over. And it's like, that's probably not a good thing. And Miles is like, does he sound different? You know, or his friend's like, does he sound different? Like, yeah, a little bit. Like, it's just weird. Because, like, normally, like, that story is kind of like a solitary Spider-Man story. Mm-hmm. It's like, he makes a bad decision. He's, like, a young kid. And, like, I don't know, maybe he talks to Mary Jane about it or something. But otherwise, he just has to kind of, like, figure stuff out. But, like, with Miles there, Miles should be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't wear that goop suit, man.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Do you think you can switch between Spider-Man and Miles like at will, like GTA 5?
GTA, yeah.
I think you will be able to. Like, this was a mission, right? So in this mission, they're going to tell you, like, because we saw the prompt, right? And it says, now switch to Miles. And I think it's going to be like GTA, right? When you do a heist or whatever, it'll do the, like, whomp, and you have to switch your character. I think that's the inspiration for this, but I think once you're in the open world, I think you'll be able to kind of choose who you want to play as. At least I hope.
Here's why I'm not sure. This is from the PlayStation blog. They say you'll seamlessly switch between both Spider-Man, but between both Spider-Men across a variety of story moments in Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
That is a little bit. So right? it's like, is it mostly Spider-Man? And then during like scripted bits, you like zip zop into Miles.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Do we know?
It could go, like, it could go day by day. I think Spider-Man already does that with day night, right? So it's like after you finish the mission, if it's night, it stays night until the next mission. So you might like stay that Spidey until the next thing, which like constricts the amount of time between things. I can't remember.
It would make me not want to do a mission because I'd be like, well, I'm Miles right now. So I want to stay as Miles. So I'm just not going to, I'm going to do all my open worlds. It's weird.
I mean, it is cool that the game is very clearly and directly like a sequel to both Spider-Man games, right? Like, I guess I don't know what I expected. Like, clearly that makes sense in hindsight. But, like, you know, at least in what they put forward yesterday, or, you know, at the show this week, like, it's very Miles Morales heavy and Peter Parker heavy, which is cool. Like, it's cooler than I expected. I just think, you know, we were talking about fantasy RPGs, like, every single game on Earth was a fantasy RPG, and now suddenly they're gone, right? And, like, I also feel that way about the gameplay in Spider-Man. Like, it seems a little bit old, but not, like, I don't mean that in a negative way. I just, like Spider-Man, like, every game was, like, an open-world game with, like, this brawling combat, and that's what video games were for, like, a good, like, 5 to 10 years. But then, like, just as suddenly as they were here, like, they're kind of gone. Like, there's not... If you want that particular gameplay itch scratched, like there's kind of like nothing coming out.
It's the Dark Souls influence, right? Like when you play Star Wars, it's like, well, that could have been easily that kind of Batman. You kind of glue and stick to enemies and bounce around between them, Spider-Man type thing. But no, it's not. It's more like a Dark Souls type.
Yeah. And so I think it's become like, it's not like old enough. It's not far enough in the rearview mirror that it's like old school or anything like that, but it's just, it's a little bit out of fashion. But I think that's fine because, you know, it's just glad that that's still being serviced by such a big AAA game. And then, you know, then other people have other stuff if they want to play.
Remember in 5 years before that, it was cover-based shooters.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the surprises, maybe letdowns for me is that we didn't get a release date for Spider-Man 2. And then we didn't get, you know, I always like to get just a tease of something that's a bit further off. We're still in this sort of weird time where coming out of God of War Ragnarok, coming into 2023, Sony hasn't released any big first party, you know, studio exclusive. They have Spider-Man 2, but we still don't know exactly when. So it would have been nice to see Wolverine. But then also there's this Last of Us multiplayer game supposedly coming at some point.
Yeah, what's going on with
that? When Last of Us Part 2 was 2020, right?
It's
been 3 years.
Here's what I think. I was surprised that there was a showcase at all, right? I thought for sure the closer we got to Summer Game Fest that that would be the Sony showcase. So then when they were like, never mind, there's a Sony showcase, and then it wasn't that great, my bet is that we'll see Factions and Death Stranding 2, like these things that we missed out of the showcase at Jeff's Summer Game Fest. I think he's got those on lock, which makes me still just kind of curious why they went ahead and did a PlayStation showcase. Because I looked up some of the older PlayStation showcases, and like one was the console reveal and Spider-Man Miles Morales and Horizon Forbidden West all in one showcase. Another one was Wolverine, and they showed like Ghostwire Tokyo before
KOTOR was in there.
Yeah, KOTOR, you know, hindsight, you look at some of these and you're like, all right, some of these didn't pan out. But like,
they were
super exciting. And so for this showcase, it was a bummer that Metal Gear leaked because to me, that's not the showcase's fault that something leaks. And so you're not surprised. And I know that there's a lot of people surprised for that game or like very excited for that game. But like, yeah, I don't know. I think that those things are like a week out. I think we'll see them at Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, there may have been some jockeying of like what made it onto Summer. Like maybe this was a mix of Sony's absolute biggest stuff and then the stuff that didn't make it into Summer Games Fest and like toss it into our own direct.
Yeah. I mean, Death Stranding 2 was it either Game Awards or last summer at Summer Game Fest, right?
I think it's Game Awards.
Yeah. And then last summer they talked at least about the Last of Us multiplayer game. That leaked ahead of time.
Yeah, well, and that was Summer Game Fest. They haven't had a showcase since 2021.
There's an art to constructing one of these events, and like they ended on their big game, Spider-Man. So it's like, you know, they obviously understood what they were doing there, but like having like a final, like you know, I don't know, like Uncharted will return or like something, some final moment to like close.
I thought
on.
They were gonna do Ghost of Tsushima too.
Yeah, like something like that.
I mean,
like,
it's been 3 years since that too.
Even if it's just like, you know, some 15-second thing, just so that people close out the show on like, you know, on a bigger moment.
What I found weird, though, was the Jim Ryan return right before Spider-Man. And it's like, hey, by the way, real quick, here's some hardware that you're probably that you probably don't care about. Like, here's some headphones. You already have PS5 headphones, but here's some other ones. And then here's a handheld with, like, I mean, in my opinion, it's one of the comfiest looking handhelds I've ever seen, but I'm not going to buy a remote play handheld. So they were like, here's some garbage real quick. And then, okay, here's Spider-Man.
He says, we're all about innovation, but I don't really see what's innovative about this.
They split a DualSense in half and put it on a phone.
A phone.
A screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That handheld looks comfy though. Like, yeah, it's just comfy. A controller. It looks comfortable. I just don't care about cloud gaming. So.
We'll see what it costs. Like,
it all comes down to cost. If the cost is low enough, sure. Because recently I've been reminded how nice it is to lie in bed and play Zelda. I haven't done that in a long time. So sure. If I just have that option to play something on my PS5 lying in bed, sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Okay. That's the PlayStation showcase. You know, and unless I sound too down, it was still very, you know, it's very fun and exciting.
Damon, were you into Alan Wake too? I thought that was kind of a surprise that it would be out this fall.
Yeah. I like that first Alan Wake a lot. I just think it's weird. They announced their release date, October 17th, which is a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The previous week has a Friday the 13th.
Dope.
Why didn't they do it then?
They didn't have you to check.
I guess so. What do you guys think about the news that it's going to be digital only? Does that, like, in your mind, does that make it seem less prestige, less AAA?
I love their reasoning for it.
It's going to be a trend. I don't think that's going to be something that's a one-off.
Yeah, no, I think it's the start of a glorious trend. They're basically saying this can't ship on a disc, and we don't want to waste the plastic and manufacturing costs to ship you a disc for a game you're going to have to download anyways. I love it. I'm into it.
I mean, I download all my games. I don't buy hardly any retail games. I just think, like, you know, I think the best-selling games every year are available at Target and Walmart. You know,
and they're also not available in places that have, you know, no broadband, right?
Yeah,
I guess that's
most
true.
Of the world,
right? But what they're saying is they're not causing an issue by not shipping a physical release. They're saying the physical release you're going to have to download it anyways. So we're just skipping that part entirely. I think Jedi Survivor was the same way. Even if you get the disc, you still have to basically download the entire game. You can't play
155 gigs.
And so they're saying, so we're not even going to bother shipping you a disc. So I guess the only thing, they are risking is, like, shelf space.
I mean, and that's a real thing, though, right? Like, that's what, so Damon's prompt question was, like, does it make it seem less prestigious? Like, I completely agree with you, Mark, where, like, I think it's the responsible and good thing to do of, like, you're going to have to download it anyway, so just save, you know, save the plastic. But, from a perspective of, like, how prestigious does it seem, like, absolutely it matters that, like, that logo is not going to be in, you know, 10,000 GameStop stores across the nation now. Mm-hmm.
It also is bad for, you know, as I mentioned, broadband lacking consumers. That makes it really tough for people that have to pay a lot for big downloads. Like, sometimes, like, you have a cap that's like, you know, 100 gigabytes a month or something. That's going to be a significant portion of that.
Yeah.
But also it takes away trade-in value from you, right? So it's like a lot of people depend on trade-in value. Like, that's just the state of things, and that's not correctable digitally. So I think that's why people are mad about it. And I think they, you know, that's a thing that's worth bringing up. But, there's good points on all sides of this. The environmental part of this alone, not shipping and making plastic things is, like, it's pretty great. I mean, I think there's a future there, but it'd be nice if it really brought down the cost of the game, so people would feel a little bit better about the buyback part of it and the broadband part of it.
Of course, there are several companies today, like Limited Run Games, that specialize in creating
physical editions, right?
So sometime down the road, maybe they could do that.
I used to have an internet cap. And then when we went remote, I got to my internet cap in 3 days. And I was all right.
You
don't realize how much bandwidth you actually, like, use being on the video team. And I was like, nope, that's not a thing.
Okay, let's share some of our tales from Tears of the Kingdom. And Mark, we haven't had you on the show since the game came out. I hear that you it's the worst game you've ever played. Hate it.
It's just not good. And everyone who said, no, it's awesome. I love it. I was talking with Justin before the show. I didn't expect this game to shoot up to becoming like one of my favorite games of all time, but I really truly believe it is one of the best games ever made. It is so good. A game hasn't had its hooks into me like this in a really, really long time. I got it. I played all weekend, and then the Sunday sad kicked in. I'm like, I got to go to work tomorrow. And I was like, oh, wait, my job is to just, make content for this game that I love. And so I being on the Wiki team, I make content all day. And then I finish work, I eat dinner, and then I play Zelda all night. And I've been doing it for however long the game's been out.
It's been conducive to game health because like we play ahead on our saves at night, and then we can do stuff during the day for work because we all have different jobs that may not be pushing the main story forward. Mm-hmm. So it's been pretty fun to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it is so good. And that saying that as someone who liked Breath of the Wild enough. Never beat it.
Well, so what
Tears of the Kingdom rules.
what do you think are the key differences then in your mind?
I think it's the building, right? Like, yeah. I think being able to just like walk up to somewhere and the game's like, here's a glider and some fans. You don't have to use them, but you can if you want.
Yeah.
And then me just being like, actually, I'm gonna use it. Okay. So let me just, I don't want to spoil bosses, but I was fighting a boss and the boss makes it where there's like sludge. And so I fought the boss. Maybe that's still a spoiler. Who knows?
Nope.
But I fought the boss and I got wrecked because he's really hard in the sludge and all that stuff. So then before I fought the boss, I don't like being full screen because I can't see everybody's reactions to what I'm saying. I just assume everyone's making fun of me the entire time. Anyways, so yeah, I know, right? That's fine. So before walking back into the boss arena, I made a big wheel. And I put it on one of those stabilizers and I attached a bunch of fire hydrants to it. And then I used auto build to make like three or four more. And so then you run into the boss arena and I just dropped those everywhere.
Wow.
And I destroyed him.
That's really smart.
He had no chance. He would do the sludge and it would instantly get cleaned up because I built sprinklers. It was awesome.
Wow. And you could bring them in there because it let you with auto build. That's brilliant.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I brought the one in, the fight started, and then I just auto built and just kind of spread them around. Yeah, I just had these sprinklers going. It was awesome because they all had like the little battery things on them.
I can't believe the game lets you do that. Like that's the type of yes and gameplay, right? That's amazing.
Yeah. And I'm so curious if anybody else fought him that way. And right. And like the stories we've been having about shrines, because at IGN, we have our video guide people and our written guide people. And a lot of times those are different people. And I'll look at a written guide and I'll go to like attach a video. And I'm like, yo, my video is completely different than this. But like, who's right in that scenario? And I'll tell you who's right. The person who didn't cheese everything with recall. That's the person that's right.
I wrote a little bit of cheesy recall guides. It is pretty funny. You can definitely cheese stuff with recall.
You can cheese
that was one of my
so
favorite
much.
Things to add. Sometimes I do like, this is how the puzzle wants you to solve it. Mm-hmm. But you can't just climb up this ladder and stick all these things together and pull them upwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Sam.
Well, I wanted to tell a story that I wanted to tell last week, which now I have kind of an augmented version of. But the one you were just talking about, this is what reminded me. You were talking about like, what's the difference between Breath of the Wild? I think there's a different gameplay loop for the sky, which is like, this is how you get to this area. And then once you get there, it's about usually about getting a sky crystal to a platform and using all these puzzles and not dropping it out of sight. Mm-hmm. Like that's a different gameplay loop. And there's a lot of that. And then there's like a whole special surprise in the sky too, which really changes the game. But the other loop that I think is really good is the more punishing one, which is you go to the depths and you have to light your way somewhere. Like say you have a treasure, any of the treasure chests that are hanging from ropes, those have a treasure map in them and they're in the depths. So you get something in the sky and then it marks a little X in the depths and you're like, oh, well, I'm kind of close to that. And the last time I was in the depths, you can see a little flag where you were the last time. Mm-hmm. So you go to the depths and you're like, I'm going to go this direction, but everything is pitch black and really difficult. And you know, if you don't have a light route, you can't restore your hearts easily unless you have food and there's all this stuff. So I set off the first like expedition where I was like, I'm going to go from like kind of upper right to like the corner of the map. Like it's not even that far. It wasn't a lot, but I got down there and you know, the enemy's really hard. I was avoiding them and I was just throwing the light buds everywhere.
Yep.
And I, you know, just from, I would come off to like a giant cliff wall. And I'd be like, well, I guess I'll just go around. Oh, first I'd try to like build something to go up and over it. And that like might not work, right? So then I'll go around it. And then around it was taking me way out of my way. So I'm like, oh, maybe I was supposed to go the other way around it. Well, maybe I want to find a light route because light routes show you the map. So then there was like five different things pulling me different directions. And I was like, but I am also just like nearly dead. And so I got to this, I got up really high just to look for a light route. And then I just floated. I used like my rockets in my inventory. And then I like floated to that and it revealed the map. And I was like, oh, there's like basically a canyon that leads through this impenetrable wall. And I needed to find the entrance to that. So that assumption I made was right. Really happy about that. But I go there and it turns out it's the edge of the map has the spiral island on the surface. And under there, there's a spiral mine. So there's a mirror. There's a mirror of the surface. And it's always like a dark mirror, which is really cool, right?
Yeah, that's
and
what so the depth
I
are.
Was just on the edge of that. And that, the shrine I was wanting to get to in the treasure chest was in the middle. And it's this huge, long spiral. And I had exactly one heart that I could fill up, right? So I could get hit by like a quarter heart and I could fill it up. But like all of my hearts were gone. And so I was like, I could leave a travel medallion here, but I was like, I'm just going to do it. So yeah, I just ran through that whole thing and avoided enemy after enemy through this whole mine. And like, it was really cool. It was ruins and it was like really amazing. I was like, I got to come back and explore this. And at the very center of this spiral after going forever was the save spot that restored my hearts and cool. the treasure chest. It was so great. And I've had another one since then last night where I did that same thing. And I was like, this is not anything like Breath of the Wild. There's nothing in Breath of the Wild that's that type of gameplay. And I'm just really happy with it. Challenging.
I feel like Nintendo said, look, we know that you've played Breath of the Wild. So you've explored Hyrule. So we're just going to give you these like 15 towers that you can just, that's a lot of the game, right? Is you're like, oh, this thing is near here. So I'm just going to shoot from the Skyview Tower. And I'm just going to glide there. And then they're like, but then they take all of that away in the depths. Like you have to just explore like a normal game. Down there. You don't have those.
It functions so well as a sequel to Breath of the Wild. Like Breath of the Wild is meant to be immersive and it's this world that Link exists within and he's rooted to the ground, right? And then you're in amongst the trees and the wildlife and everything else. And whereas Tears of the Kingdom is a game to be kind of like dominated and taken over by the player. And you have a lot more power in this game, which I don't know would have worked if that was our first sort of glimpse of this Hyrule, right? Like if this was our first time there and this is how you're experiencing it, but experiencing it this way for the second time around and that sense of power that you get and sort of mastery over the world and like, nah, man, I'm just going to float over all this. I'm going to build a thing. Like I'm going to cheese it. And like, that's a very, very different thing. I think the games are like anyone calling it DLC or like Breath of the Wild 1.5, I think doesn't get it. They don't get the point and they don't get, They're completely different vibes,
yeah.
On a moment to moment basis.
For as weird as Breath of the Wild was, like this is the weird one. This is the
weird one for sure.
And I also like I think that my favorite thing to do in the game is to explore caves. And so people talk about
the caves.
Yeah, like the game. So there's like I think that it's a mistake to say that it has three gameplay loops of like you know islands and Hyrule and then the depths. I'm like no, the caves are like a fourth. They're a fourth different. Separate thing. Like the pace of how you play them and what you get out of them is a fourth thing. And like whatever, people can have their own opinion, but like validating that opinion for me is that the caves are the only place you get the bright blooms. And so like everything in the game is interconnected. Like I was saying last week, like the only way to get the gloom food is to get the herbs from the sky and the sky gives you the treasure maps from the depths and the depths give you power weapons and stuff to explore Hyrule. And then on Hyrule are the caves that give you the bright bloom seeds. Like all of this stuff is interconnected. And so the caves are my favorite thing to do. And as a result, I have 500 bright bloom seeds. Yeah. And like, I just like that sense of like, it's so strong of like some caves are huge and you'll spend an hour in there and some are one little tiny room and everything in between. And, you know, they do have a lot of the Horoblins. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
So like, they're very prevalent in the caves, but not always. Like sometimes you'll see other weird stuff in them. And so it's my favorite thing to do in the game. They get a lot more fun to do after you've done How can I say this
bubble,
without spoiling
the bubble gym
it?
Thing?
Yeah. You get an ability after you do a dungeon, a temple near Death Mountain that I think makes exploring caves more fun. And I'll, I don't want to spoil it more than that.
Oh, yeah.
One of our guide writers sent us a picture of a map he drew because it was the only way he figured out he could explain how to get through the cave. And I haven't seen the sprawlings of like a madman like that since The Witness. Like, it was just this like crudely drawn map, and he's like, this is the only way I know how to explain it. Can I just upload this? It's great.
Similar go ahead, Justin.
Now you.
I was gonna say, similar to the caves, I like the wells.
Mm-hmm.
They're so cool.
It's like you jump down a well, it might be just a small area with some mushrooms, or it could be a huge sprawling environment with treasure chests everywhere and a shrine and a mini boss fight. Mm-hmm.
And it can place you under something that is really good to ascend up to. Yep. Yep. And the ascension stuff is just mind-blowingly clever in that
game. Oh, yeah. My first like few days, I had to keep reminding myself, you're not actually stuck. You just forgot about ascend. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All the time.
And I've reached the point, I'm not anywhere close to the end of the game, but I'm at the point where like if I mainlined it, like I could, like I'm near-ish to the end, right? Like, but now every time I play the game, like every other, like, so for 2 weeks, I had like a specific mission in mind. Like, I'm going to go do this quest. I'm going to go do this area. I'm going to go do that. But now I've turned a corner where like I turn on the game and I'm like, I'm just going to wander. Like, I'm just going to wander over here. That looks neat. Let's go see what that's all about. And like, now I'm playing the game that way, just completely directionless and just finding the coolest stuff. I found the coolest side quest. How can I say it without spoiling it? On a beach, I found something interesting that forced me to go explore off the beach. And I
love that. I really like the idea of meandering, and I've been doing that too. And to connect it to your other point, I do it in the region where I need to stock up. Mm-hmm. So the other day I was like, I just haven't been on the surface in so long that I don't have any meat. I don't have any herbs.
You've gone
blind. I don't have any fruit. I just have nothing. You know, and then I was like, well, I could go farm this stuff because I know how to do that, or I can just like go off somewhere. And by the way, one of the times I went off somewhere, a side quest similar to what Justin was talking about, it sent me out into the ocean. There's like a pirates thing that, and I haven't done any of that stuff. I just, people talk about it all the time. But at one point, this woman was like, there's monsters. And like, can you go clear them out? And they're on like three boats in the ocean.
Yeah, I did.
And they were like adorable pirate boats. And I was like, where are they coming from?
Yeah.
You know, like I thought all these monsters were from like Ganon's like spawn or something, but like, no, these just showed up on boats and they're like harassing people. That was so cool.
The team at Nintendo is so, so clever. Like the way this game's set up is a quest does like it's, and then we talked about this a little bit last week too, but like a quest will just say go north, or like the statues will lead the way, or like it's over to the east. And like, but then in between you and your quest objective is a shrine and a cave and a chasm. Yep. And like, and so every single player, there's 10 million people playing Zelda that are all like, I discovered this on my own and I'm so clever. And it's like, of course, it's deliberately designed to put these distractions in the path of where the quest is leading you to.
Yeah.
And so then it allows everyone to have their own self-authored adventure, but in a way that is still very like just the deft sort of hand of Nintendo sort of gently nudging you. Like it's so much more subtle and smart than every other game that just beats you over the head with a sledgehammer of like where to go next and what to do.
Yes.
Yeah. You found Hestu because Nintendo wanted you. You didn't just stumble upon him.
Or you didn't, but and you angrily searched for him.
Amanda's playing and she has not found Hestu. And I was like, then how did you, but she's been to the Wind Temple. And I'm like, how did you miss
it? Yeah, that sucks.
Like, I'm very curious what route she took.
Well, I think I accidentally did something I wasn't supposed to do last night, and I'm not going to mention anything that wasn't in trailers, but something funny that happened. Are they called Skyview Towers? Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
So I did one of those last night. It launches you way up in the air, and then you're falling down. So I like to like look around, see if there's anything interesting I want to go towards. And I saw this big hole, and it wasn't like a chasm. It was like elevated above ground with a big hole on top, and I couldn't tell if it was man-made or natural. So I was like flying towards that. I'm angling it so I can just sort of like go straight down into the hole, and I see like three like lights. I couldn't tell if it's fire or three glimmery things down there. And I only realized when it was too late, when I could not get out of there, that I was going right down on top of the Gliok, The big green headed dragon.
Oh no.
I did that going to a Sky Island. I made like, I was like, I want to see every Sky Island and I'm doing some of this for work. And like, I made like a glider with all these, you know, fans and batteries and everything. I was like, I think I can reach this. I'm like, oh, I could reach it. And right when I was like getting there out of the clouds, I started seeing those three sparkles. I was like, oh, it's just a platform way the heck out that takes forever to get to. And then there's a giant boss fight on it. Like, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yesterday was my first time I did something completely unintentional, which was I found a temple thing that I wasn't supposed to be at.
Cool.
I was like, okay, that's cool. I love it.
It's a very good
game. I can't beat
Gliox
yet. I can't even beat the what are the guys with horse legs? Can't beat that either.
Lynels, yeah.
Yeah, I won't even get into the big things I've seen in the depths where I'm like, yeah, I can't even touch that thing yet.
I saw one in the gloom, all covered in gloom, and I just noped out and went the other way.
No.
And like, yeah, I saw something like legit as big as any of the bosses in the game, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that type of thing could walk around the game now.
There's a thing in the depths I want to talk about. We'll save it for a few more weeks.
A Talus thing came out in the depths, and I fought him for like half a second. I was like, man.
Oh, was it like a goopy stone Talus?
Yeah, it was like a gloom stone Talus.
Oh,
and I was
cool.
Like, I was going to fight him, and then I was like, because most of the stone Taluses, you jump on their back and you hit their thing. But if you do that, you get the gloom.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, I don't.
Maybe there's some anti-gloom armor.
You got to make gloom food. Make the gloom resistant food.
I'm learning now on this podcast from what Sam said like 10 minutes ago that you can eat something to heal gloom. I thought you could only heal gloom from going to the surface or finding the light.
Oh no, yeah. You find out.
I don't know what it is. But now
needs,
I know that
needs,
I can.
You need sundalions. You probably have
I have 30 of
them.
I have a lot. I have a lot of those.
Yeah, it's in the little description of them.
That's the best. Okay. Like, because I meander when I play this game, every quest is like, Link, I really need this rare fish. It's so rare. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to find it. And I'm
I have 10.
Yeah, you need this fish? That's happened to me like four times. They're like, I need three honeycombs. And I'm
when that happened and I wasn't prepared was I cooked all my apples and then I went to Lookout Landing and then they were like, hey, we just need an apple. And I'm like, I gotta go farm. I'll be right back. It's like the one thing I don't have. It's a normal apple.
Okay. Stay tuned for the further adventures of the Omega Cops in Hyrule. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Shannon from Memphis.
Cool.
Let the questioning begin.
Did this game come out in the 70s, 80s, or 90s?
No.
All right.
Is this a console exclusive?
Yes.
Ooh. Was it exclusive to a Nintendo console?
Yes.
Yay.
Oh, it's Zelda, guys. We got this.
Could be.
Have we just talked about it for 30 minutes?
No,
that's not a question.
Is this a Zelda, Mario, or Metroid game?
No.
Was this exclusive to the DS or 3DS?
No. That's 5.
Okay, so what do we got left? We got Switch, we got Wii U.
Does this have motion controls?
I don't know. I don't think so. No.
Well, it's not on GameCube. He wouldn't have had to think about it if it was like,
That's true.
Unless he's tricking us. Maybe it's Mario Kart Tour, and he wasn't sure if you could.
You know, it has motion controls. Tears of the Kingdom.
It does. I forget about them, and then my ultra hand goes way up in the air, and it's because I moved my controller.
Yeah, well, and I actually kind of like them too. I feel it's become second nature to like when I'm aiming my bow to like slightly tilt my controller, and I'm like, holy shit! Like they pulled it off. They did it.
I know. They finally got it.
Yeah, they finally got it.
I do it when I'm setting a marker and you're super zoomed in and you need that very slight
I completely lost my train of thought. Is this game exclusive to the Wii?
No.
Same
is it
question.
Exclusive to the Switch?
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
All right. Did we nail if it was first party?
No.
Because
no.
You just said, so is this game like Nintendo Polish first party?
Yes.
Maybe it is Tears of the Kingdom. Maybe you're right.
But not,
it's not a Zelda game.
You said no Zelda, Metroid, and Mario?
Yeah.
Correct. So it could be 1, 2,
that's
Switch.
All of them.
Sounds like it's arms. Well, he would know when to switch his motion controls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Could be arms. Could be smash. Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. What was the other one? Oh, no. It was there and it's gone. I mean, I don't know. Could be Splatoon.
Splatoon?
Could be Pikmin. Could be Advance Wars. Or yeah.
Yeah.
Could be Fire Emblem.
Would you call this a game? Does this game have strategy elements?
No, that's 10.
It's not Fire Emblem.
Is this a downloadable game? Only.
What? No.
That's good. That eliminates anything hinky that Nintendo's been up to.
Yeah, like the jump rope game.
Yeah, my daughters loved that when they were little.
So it could be what, sports, arms.
Yeah, it could smash. Could be the Wii Sports thing.
Oh no, because he knows that has motion control. But I feel like Smash, he would know that doesn't have motion controls.
So I mean, there's been a million. Like it could be Kirby. Yeah. Like you know.
I weirdly feel like it's arms because I feel like that's the one that you're like, wait, does it have motion controls?
Nobody knows.
No one knows. Not even.
What are the top three Nintendo series after Zelda, Mario, and Metroid? Would you say Kirby?
Kirby, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Smash is kind of an all-encompassing game.
Yeah.
We already eliminated like Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm. Fire, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did. Yeah,
no strategy.
Does this game have, is this game part of a series?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Not arms.
Sorry.
Not arms. Do you play as a human?
You can.
It might be Smash. Okay. Is this, you know, like a fighting game?
Yes.
There we go.
So close to arms, though. So close.
Let's just take a half second.
I'm just a really stretchy arm's length away.
There's not any other fighting games on the Switch.
You play
right?
with a human who has spaghetti arms?
You can.
I can't think of anything else, but we could just nail in Smash more. Okay, is Sora from Kingdom Hearts in this game?
I can't answer that question.
is he not sure?
That just nails it down more. I don't know.
Does this game have a lot of amiibo associated with it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 15.
Okay.
Is Smash Ultimate?
Is it Super Smash Brothers Ultimate?
Yes, it is. Woo. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Yeah.
I like how we got about that though. We got about that in a fun way.
Yeah. We got that.
Wow, this looks dated suddenly, huh?
Sora was the last. He's the last DLC character ever.
I would know that.
The one and also the one that was like never.
He's already wiped it from his brain, Mark.
I was like, this is either is confidential. Damon's he can't let me know, or he just doesn't. Yeah.
And I just didn't know if there was some kind of motion control included. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different modes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very good video game. Very, very good video game. It's my most played Switch game, I think.
Wow.
I could go check my profile, but I'm sure it is.
Mine is Animal Crossing for 20 more hours.
Man, I forgot about Animal Crossing. Man, the Switch. It really is an all-timer,
right? I was going through my friends list, and some people have like 600 hours with Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Remember that year?
Yeah. I do.
I remember that Animal Crossing. That's what I remember from that year.
Yeah.
I was like, do I want to play Doom or Doom Eternal or Animal Crossing? Mm-hmm. That was what a time.
That was March.
Yep.
Ooh. Well, nicely job. Thank you for the suggestion, Shannon from Memphis. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Justin. Thank you to Tom working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon, this is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. We'll be right back.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.